If venture capitalists were dogs, there'd be no dogs left on the porch. These investors are looking for places to put their cash. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a national expert about the venture capital cycle and where we are inside of that cycle. That starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's show. The often opaque world of venture capital deals not only with high levels of investment risk, but some staggering sums of money overall.
Access to capital. We've been in a low interest rate environment, zero interest rate environment for a long period of time. And over that period of time, more and more capital has been seeking alpha and they have to take more risk. Venture's high risk. So a lot of money's been pouring into that market and it's been available. So you've got lots of capital out there. You've seen the cost of starting companies plummeting over the past 15 years.
That's Jeff Grabo. He's our guest this week from Ernst & Young, and he has about 30 years of venture capital experience. Here are some of those staggering numbers, and this is just the second quarter of this year. 159 venture funds collected $17.74 billion in the second quarter. That is a 100% increase from the amount in the first quarter of 2018. The number of IPOs doubled in the quarter as well, and the mergers and acquisitions market is humming and picking up steam. The thing is, those exits, when a company either goes public or gets bought, are less and less frequent. In a nutshell, it's never been easier or cheaper to start a company, but it's also almost never been harder to exit. Okay, let's get going.
Jeff Grabo, U.S. venture capital leader, EY.
You guys have been busy looking from Q1 to Q2. I was just looking at the executive summary of the venture capital report from Dow Jones, right? The very first bullet line, U.S. venture capital fundraising was the highest in the last 3 years, both in amount invested and in number of funds. Is this the case of happiness being a low bar coming out of Q1, or is this just a real ramp up across the board?
I think we're still in a very, you know, bullish market, you know, overall, and it's led by I think the momentum will continue, barring anything, you know, that comes out of left field, black swan, large geopolitical ramification that hits the broader economy, because you've got a lot of access to capital. You know,
okay,
a lot of money was raised this past quarter.
Right.
You know, we've got, I think it was 159 funds raised, about $15 billion.
$16 billion.
That's a lot of cash, and that's putting us at 25 for the year.
And you had a high IPO count, too.
Yeah, and IPOs were up. You know, getting back, take us to the beginning of access to capital, you've got access to capital. We've been in a low interest rate environment, zero interest rate environment for a long period of time. And over that period of time, more and more capital has been seeking alpha, and they have to take more risk. Venture's high risk. So a lot of money's been pouring into that market and it's been available. So you've got lots of capital out there. You've seen the cost of starting companies plummeting over the past 15 years.
Is that because of a mature ecosystem?
No, that's what we've seen is the technologies that were first started that were more vertical oriented now have been pushed into the company creation cycle.
So what I would call democratizing of the internet kind of thing and those kind of products, right?
Well, and you can get up on a website with a swipe now versus in the old days you had to go into a colo center, you had to buy hardware, you had to get bandwidth. That's all been compressed into a single transaction.
Okay.
And on a use basis versus full cost of ownership.
Okay.
So that there's also that in advertising and distribution on digitally, all that has been, you know, massively compressed into one to two transactions on consumption basis versus having total cost of ownership. So you can stand these companies up, the technology companies up, very quickly, very inexpensively.
And the appetite for risk remains okay because of the low cost of money.
It's so much easier to do. And you've had so many people look across, you know, high net worth areas like the Bay Area, New York, LA. You've had lots of transactions, whether it's large M&A or IPOs over the past 10 to 15 years. So a lot of people have been liquid and they've tended to reinvest in things they know. You know, so we've got low cost. Next, we've got, you know, lots of themes out there in terms of investment themes. And what I mean by that is you've got scenarios where you've got the technology enablement of industries, where scenarios happen such that we were talking earlier about talking to clients that want to start corporate venture capital.
Sure.
They're concerned that somebody's going to put a technology wrapper around a big piece of their business and show up and disintermediate.
They're blocking and tackling with corporate venture, right?
Well, they're thinking that's a good way to get involved. And how do I engage?
So if you can't build it and buy it?
Or stay in front of things and become engaged. And, you know, there may be scenarios where there's synergy. They may be frenemies. They may be competitive. You know, there may be co-opetition.
Right.
But it's better to be involved rather than just sit with your head
sure.
in the sand or be blissfully unaware until somebody shows up and says, hey, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And so
you've just been disrupted.
Exactly. And so there are that opportunities, and that's a long tail. And you're going to see, you know, you see financial services, healthcare, transportation. You've got new themes like, you know, artificial intelligence, virtual reality.
Yeah.
Crypto, blockchain. There's a lot of things that are very early in their genesis. And what will happen is over time, we'll see how that plays out. But given you've got all this money out there, which, oh, by the way, will need to be placed. People didn't raise it and weren't given to it just to sit on it. It will be placed.
Right. It needs to be active.
So we will churn through the capital, and those investment themes will be invested in. But I think those are long tail investment things. So looking forward, I think that there's a lot of momentum.
Let me ask you an anecdotal question, given your experience in the space. Are you seeing any symptoms here or any telltale signs of something you may have seen before? And that's not a leading question. I'm just wondering.
So from a momentum perspective right. in the market, the only thing that I look at as a potential headwind is what happens from the overhang. We've studied this and looked at this quite a bit, and it's the one thing that I think about. And what I mean by overhang is, so if you look at where the number of venture-backed startups were at the end of 2003, we had about 5,000 venture-backed startups in the U.S. Fast forward to, I think it was the end of 2017, we were up to around 15,000. So that's, I want to say, for 13, 14 years. Venture cycles are 10, 11, 12. These funds are raised on 10 to 11, 12 years.
So your concern is this is long in the tooth.
There's a massive overhang in the venture market. So we've had great fund formation. We've had great fund deployment.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of liquidity. So we've added more in, and this is an ecosystem, and it needs to be humming, and it needs to be circular, because what happens is money gets raised, it gets deployed, there's liquidity, it gets returned. And so...
So liquidity exits?
Exits.
Okay.
Yeah, and so...
Not necessarily IPOs, just exits.
M&A, IPOs.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Any way where you can recycle cash. And
okay.
so... You know,
so that oxygenates the system again, and then we
yeah.
see... Okay.
And the other thing is that when you look at that kind of company count, because there's over 5,000 venture-backed startups in the Bay Area alone.
Wow.
Where do you get all the resources to grow those companies? So it becomes more competitive. So it's interesting. It's never been cheaper to start a company, but it's never been more expensive to break out. Because now the bar's low. We used to see three companies. Now you may see 8, 9 competitors. But where do you get the people? Where do you get the advisors?
Right.
You know, where do you get the space?
Yeah.
Where do you get the customers? I mean, a lot of these companies actually compete for similar customers at scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, EY can only buy so many new solutions a year at scale.
Right.
You know, and whether that's in a software vertical, privacy, security, mobility, ERP solutions,
sure.
something like that. You know, at scale, we can do one every 18, 24 months. You know, and a lot of other corporations are like that too. So you might right. get the logo, you might get, you know, a small proof of concept, you might get a small deal in a department, but getting it at scale, which gets you up the hockey stick
right.
to get you the results that then get you the marquee customer, then you start knocking them off
uh-huh.
to build scale inside your company.
I see.
Those are things I think about when I, you know, I think about potential headwinds, and that's kind of, you know, the only thing. But there's a lot of things that are set that will provide for strong results for the foreseeable future.
I'm trying to find out why it all trends in later. Is it risk management? The money comes in a little bit later? Mm-hmm. Who are those investors?
It could be growth investors. It can be later stage. It's also firms that have invested at the B and C round, maintaining their pro rata. It's also private equity, hedge, mutual fund investors
okay.
that are going. And you think about, you know, the growth in the population. If these companies are still viable, you're going to keep supporting them. And you need to. And you need to keep pushing them through to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to end game and into the end zone, or choose your sports analogy, into the goal.
Right, you're right. Across the goal
FIFA
line.
World
sure.
Cup, you know, that needs to happen. One other trend is we've seen, you know, fewer deals. You know, this time it's interesting. Nationally, there were actually more deals this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually a reversal in trend in terms of there was more, the number of deals, actually, there was more seed and first round deals than there were B and later stage deals.
Okay.
That was an interesting twist. They, you know, they won't all.
Right. No.
Everybody who hits seed won't end up getting a C round, but there will be a need to support those, you know, the winners of those companies.
Right.
But you've also got this situation where you've got these later stage companies that are out there that are trying to scale, that you have additional other asset class investors, private equity hedge, who don't necessarily invest like a classical VC, mm-hmm. that are putting in for growth, that will now come in for these mega fund, these mega rounds, $2, $3, $4, $5 billion round deals that you've seen
right.
over the past several years.
Right.
And that's a true sign of, okay, other investors who weren't traditionally investing in the space now are seeking yield and getting in.
So does this feedback loop tie into your overhang? Not concerned, but your overhang watch?
It funds the overhang in terms of it's been easier to raise capital in the private markets than it has been the public. A public offering is a long situation. It's a regulated fundraising environment.
Right. Yeah.
And it's been the last several years, it's slowed down a bit, mm-hmm. but it's been a very founder-friendly seller's market.
I was going to ask you about that because the IPO slide in here shows that I believe that all the deals, which was a spike in deals in second quarter, mm-hmm. came out to $4.74 billion publicly raised. Does that number jive with you? What I'm asking is, does that seem like, it seemed to me like a low number to have so many IPOs go out and then have the capital raised from those IPOs be less than $5 billion when the whole overall VC environment in second quarter was closer to $18 billion. You can put me back in my lane on this because I don't really
focus in on that. I'm looking at it more from a perspective of are they getting liquid and how they perform in the aftermarket.
Okay.
You know, if they're up in the aftermarket, that's great because good aftermarket performance will help support, keep the window open. In the vernacular that you hear people talk about, is the window open? Is it closed?
Right.
Company gets out, does well, trades up, good first day pop, good 30-day outlook.
Right. Window extends.
Window stays.
You know, I see.
Several companies get out, trade down, flat, tough economic outlook.
Right.
Don't have good 30-day performance. Window becomes much more tenuous.
Let's go to location. We've talked before about the target-rich environment here in San Francisco when you're trying to get something up. Are you seeing this grow in other areas of the country right now? I mean, Atlanta's on this list here. PA, of course. New York. I did look also at Silicon Beach, and if you combine it with San Diego, if it's just as a corridor, it's actually picking up a little bit of steam, at least to my mind. Am I out of my depth on this?
One macro trend we've seen over time is the world is becoming more flat in terms of capital. There's so much money that's been raised. You can't put all the money to work in a Silicon Valley and expect to make money. So now capital has to flow to opportunity. And now we're seeing the cost of starting these companies, we're seeing factors work into where it's becoming easier to be an entrepreneur. And the internet has helped make information much more transparent on how you do it. You can get really good information on what's going on. You've got sites where you can go. You can go online and you can get a lot of insights in terms of what others have done and how to do it. That used to all be kind of like captive.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you've seen a spread. And, we've talked to a lot of governments and others, around the world because everybody wants to be in the next Silicon Valley. Pick your moniker, Silicon this, Silicon that.
Right.
And a lot of governments are very interested in how that ties to their overall economic agenda. And one of the things we talk to them about is having a seminal event where you've got a large entrepreneurial activity that takes place and then you see a large exit, whether that's an IPO or M&A. That creates a lot of wealth.
Right.
People learn a lot through that process, entrepreneurs and early founders and people who have been in the trenches, and they get bit by the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got some capital and they know people who have made money. And so now they know who to tap.
Right.
You look at
To tap. It's your board. It's your team.
And the analogy we use is like, okay, you get a dandelion. It comes up. It's got a lot of light, little fuzz. The liquidity event is the wind, and that spreads it. And you come back next year, there's a field of dandelions.
Right.
And so, but it's that seminal event, and you've seen LA have it, you've seen Seattle have it, you've seen, Atlanta's got some stuff going on there.
Austin, maybe.
The Northeast.
Austin. Yeah.
So there are these hot spots
right.
that are continuing to build and grow, and other parts of the world are also looking to do that.
I'm going to get out of my own way, right? Because you came in with a bunch of data. You are armed to the teeth.
The venture capital market nationally is doing quite well, had great quarter. The second quarter saw an increase of 4%. But we set an all-time record in terms of venture capital raise in a quarter. We saw over $27 billion.
That's saying something.
Invested in the second quarter of 2018.
Okay.
So we are nationally, we are on tap to crack 2,000, which is a high watermark. So $53 billion through 6 months.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of money. And to put that into perspective, this is more than was raised in each year from 2001 through 2012. So in 6 months.
6 months, we're doing annuals.
We're doing annuals.
Comparatively.
2001 through 2012.
Wow.
And on pace to break $96 billion, which was the record invested in 2000.
Right. Again, these are national numbers.
National numbers.
Okay.
And we talked about the fact that we saw a little bit of a twist in terms of the round, in terms of where the money was going. We've seen more money go into fewer deals this year. We actually had a slight uptick nationally. And we talked about how we've seen a slight twist in terms of this quarter. There was more money going into the seed and A round versus the later stage rounds.
Right, right.
Which I thought was interesting. You know, large deals continue to play a role. The top 10 deals accounted for nearly 15% of all capital. Seven of them were California.
Those are big deals.
Yes. You know, 70% of the seven deals in California, that was 70% of the top 10 deals.
Okay.
So
still ours to lose.
And IT continues to be a dominant sector. They had $7.8 billion invested. Hmm. That's over 25% of the capital.
Wow.
And that's $2.4 billion up Q on Q. So a big IT quarter, and software raised $6.5 billion of that. So software is 25% of all capital.
How much did you say 25% of all capital raised was IT?
Was software.
Was software. I'm sorry. That one kind of blows me out a little bit.
No, I've been looking at that, and I've just, well, you know, the term software is eating the world. I think here we have it. We've got a great example of in terms of where capital is going. And this gets back to some of the long-term trends in terms of, you know, software being put into sectors, segments, and technology is kind of broken outside of its vertical stack. And we may have talked about that before, where once it was nobody ever knew. Once upon a time, nobody ever knew about a IT or a software or a hardware company. Now they're brand names. They're not just sitting inside walls and inside things. They're impacting other industries.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you get, you know, I say it's gone outside of its vertical stack and it's starting to impact other adjacents and also very non-adjacent industries.
Right.
And which it gets back to why we're seeing so much interest from corporates and others, because they believe at some level that IT is coming for them. I mean, from a Bay Area perspective, 29% of all money raised in the Bay Area was software.
Software.
35% of all money was IT.
Is it ever difficult to go into a meeting and be like, this one's just 5 years away. This one's 10 years away.
A lot of times you go in and talk to entrepreneurs and you believe that they will be able to do what they say, or what they say is going to be done, they think can be done, will be done.
Mm-hmm.
The question becomes horizon.
Okay.
Are we 36 months away? Or are we 36 years? And there's adjacencies that have to happen around this, because it's just not ever a one-time thing. It's like, what else needs to happen? I've seen a few companies that have seen the way the future is going to break out, but actually turned left when they should have turned right.
Mm.
And I think would make fascinating Harvard business case studies.
Right. Oh, it's always great to have you in. Let's do it again in a few months, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Love to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Grabo. He's the leader of United States Venture Capital at Ernst & Young. Jeff comes armed with research, data, and numbers. He's been at the VC thing for a few decades. We source all of our references in the weekly show notes article there at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, what happens when autonomous technology, things like self-driving cars, migrate into the military world?
It's going to enable the ability to build autonomous weapons that could go out and hunt for targets on their own and attack them without any other human input or involvement.
How's that grab you? That's coming up next, so we'll hope you stick around for that. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.